Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad was so pleased each week to be able to broadcast messages from the Word of God where you can hear the glorious gospel and we can worship together. Recently, we received a letter from Texas and it reads, "I am new to the Christian Worship Hour and wanted you to know how very much I enjoy hearing your messages of the gospel in such a clear, uncomplicated, and direct way. Each time I tune in, you help me to understand more clearly just how much Jesus loves me, has done for me, and continues to do in and for me. I look forward to seeing the Christian Worship Hour each week. These letters are such an encouragement. Thank you for continuing to write to us. We hope today's message, Jesus Prays for Us, will be of assurance to you and bring you peace and joy as you begin your week. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is. We've gone through another week, and now we're back at your doorstep asking to come in and to worship with you. And all over the world, the doors are opening and places are opening, and we're all gathering around the throne of God. Isn't that wonderful? And someday we're going to be there personally, and won't that be something? We're looking at Psalm 113 today, where the psalmist writes, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens." And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can gather today to worship you together, and we can think about how Jesus prays for us and how he cares for us and carries us through and someday taking us home and we'll see him face to face. Oh, we thank you for the glorious gospel, and bless us as we proclaim it today, and may many turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is with us. He's been with us since day one. He's going to sing "When Jesus Comes in the Clouds." God bless you, Hank.
Oh, what a joy will rise across the vaulted skies when Jesus comes in the clouds. We'll leave all pain and care and endless glory share when Jesus comes in the clouds. When Jesus comes in glory bright, we'll leave the lonely shades of night. All sorrow will be past, eternal joy at last, when Jesus comes in the clouds. With all the friends of old, we'll tread the streets of gold when Jesus comes in the clouds. There'll be no more goodbyes, no tears will dim the eyes when Jesus comes in the clouds. When Jesus comes in glory bright, we'll leave the lonely shades of night. All sorrow will be past, eternal joy at last, when Jesus comes in the clouds. When Jesus comes in glory bright, we'll leave the lonely shades of night. All sorrow will be past, eternal joy at last, when Jesus comes in the clouds. When Jesus comes in glory bright, we'll leave the lonely shades of night. All sorrow will be past, eternal joy at last, when Jesus comes in the clouds. All sorrow will be past, eternal joy at last, when Jesus comes in the clouds.
Well, God bless you, Hank, and you're right on. Jesus is coming again, and you know what? He could come before we even finish this service today. He could come at any moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to come first of all and take his church out, take all of the believers, all those who have been born again, take them out of this world, and then a few years later, we're going to come back with him and rule and reign in this world. Oh, what a glorious future we have in Jesus Christ. Well, we want to thank you for the letters. We just get so many nice letters, and we read every letter. And if you have a problem, a question, we try to answer it for you. And so we just appreciate your letters and hope more of you will write. I'll give you the address in just a minute, but I want to read a couple letters, and then I'm going to give you the address. There, we have a nice letter from Atlantic, Iowa. And they write, "You're helping me understand Jesus' word and how it should be used in our daily life. Please say thanks to everyone else involved in the services." Well, we have a lot of people involved in the services. We have an office staff of four lovely ladies who work and carry on the work there. We have our technicians here. We have a prayer team of about 60 people. And so there's a lot of people standing behind this. And then we have all the people who pray everywhere, and those who send gifts, you're all part of the team. It's all getting out the word of God. It's just wonderful. Here's Overland Park, Kansas. "Thanks for the suicide information, because my dad was a Christian who committed suicide. I'll see him in heaven. Thank you, Pastor." And so this is a little pamphlet. We have a little booklet. It's 10 pages, and it's entitled, "Can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven?" And the answer is yes, indeed. And it's all based on the Word of God. And so if you'd like one of these little booklets, you can write to us. I think I'll just give the address right now, so before I forget. You can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so you write in, and we send these out on a free will offering basis. And we prove by the word of God that those who die in Christ, and if they die as a suicide, they belong to the Lord, and they're going to be in glory. So just get it, and then you can tell us what you think. Here's a letter from Hudson, Wisconsin. "I've grown so much since I began seeing and hearing your program. I now understand what maturity really is. May all of you continue in his will be done. It is well with me." Why? Jesus is his name. And so Jesus is the answer to our every need. And somebody put on there, "Jesus is the answer." And then somebody else wrote in a smart Alex way. They says, "Well, what's the question?" Well, I don't care what the question is. Jesus is the answer, Buster. And so just you come to Christ. And I don't tell you that all your troubles are going to vanish, because they might not. I don't know what God's will is. But I can tell you that you'll have peace at heart, and you'll have joy, and you'll have an assurance, and you'll have the presence of the Holy Spirit within your very heart and soul, and your life will be different. Praise God for that. Now, here's a letter from Eagle River, Alaska. "Thank you for all your efforts, seen and unseen, to produce the Gospel Worship Hour. Thank you for asking for financial support in today's program and allowing the opportunity to have a tiny part in the sowing." So now here's a lady that's thanking us for taking the offering. God bless her. I just hope her numbers multiply like 60. But I'm going to listen. I want to tell you something. If you love the Lord, you'll never fuss about the money thing, and unless some of these pastors get a little wild about it. But you know it has to be financed. And so she's thankful that she can have a part. And then she goes on and writes, "Thank you for your response and sharing in detail what sheep are really like and making the comparison to our behaviors and abilities. And the heart and role and work of the shepherd, the good shepherd, really puts things in proper perspective and brought me to a hearty chuckle. Yes, I see how exactly a sheep I am too. All the encouragement to you, Pastor Salem, and your helpers." And of course, the thing we always talk about the sheep is how they go astray. And when they get lost, they're just lost, and they'll never find their way back. And you remember what God says in the Old Testament? All we like sheep have gone astray. Why didn't he say all we like horses or cattle or pigs or dogs or chickens or cats or bees or mice even? They all find their way home, but not a sheep. Now, I want to explain something here. If you have what we call a bottle lamb, and that is some of the mothers of the ewes, they'll have a twins or maybe they have triplets and they don't have enough milk for the lambs. And so then you take the lamb to the house and you feed it with a bottle. Now that animal becomes a pest and a pet, and it's just hang around like a dog. So he's not a genuine sheep. A genuine sheep, when it's lost, but a bum lamb, you can't get rid of it. They're always under your feet. They're a pest. But that's another thing. But the wonderful thing is that though we go astray, the Lord comes after us, and by his Holy Spirit, he calls us back, and he tells us, I know the Lord, and I drifted away, and so then he'll come and call us back. And when we come back like the prodigal son, the Father will have his arms wide open to receive us and take us back. Oh, what a wonderful, forgiving Father in heaven we have. Now, here's a letter from Conroe, Ontario, Canada. And this is really a nice little letter. Dear Pastor Salem, I'm Alyssa. I'm 7 years old. My dad has a bad cough. We hope he can get over it. We love your sermons, songs, and the music. We thank your staff and with lots of love. And so here this little girl's writing, and her dad is sick. And so we're all praying, all of the world. Here it is, Kenora, Ontario, Canada. And we're praying for her dad. Isn't that wonderful? Here is one. This is from Rapid City, South Dakota. And this is from a nurse. And she writes and she says, I started watching your program when I was working night shifts and couldn't get to church. I never stopped. Thanks for this great ministry. I told my friend in prison to watch. My whole family sometimes comes over to watch. And they watch church with me on TV. We still go to church, too, at the physical church. I love the music. I'm thankful for your service and look forward to it every week. Sometimes I watch it on the internet if I miss it. So then it's on TV. Have a blessed day. And so it is on internet. And it's, so you can get us that way. You can get us 24 hours a day, any time of the day or night. And it comes through really good. Just give it a try and see. You just get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can get us on the internet. Here is one from Soisey, Indiana. My husband and I watched your television program each Saturday evening. We were so glad to find someone who preaches the old-fashioned gospel in this day and time. My husband went to be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 2 weeks ago. He was ready to go. I plan to meet him one day soon. God bless you and all your helpers. I love your gospel singers and your whole program. And so isn't this wonderful? We get so many of these letters that the couple will be watching the service. Then God will take one home, and the other one still watches the service. One watches from in heaven. One watches on earth. But they're all in the body of Christ. They're all in the family of God. And they're just a little distance between, you know, it's not a million miles away. You know, it's just as close as your breath. Did you know that? You take one breath and you're in heaven. We talk about the valley of the shadow of death, and people talk like, oh, we're going to be wandering around. We're going to be lost in that valley. We won't know what to do in that valley. You know how long the valley of the shadow of death is? About 1 second. We're absent from the body and at home with the Lord. There is no such thing as soul sleep. Some people teach soul sleep. It isn't in the Bible. And it just means that sometimes they'll talk about it, resting in the grave. The body's resting, but the soul, the moment we die, we're in the presence of the Lord. Oh, it's a glorious gospel. I just love to preach it because it has so much hope. So here's this dear wife, and our husband is gone. She's there worshiping with the television right now. And then one of these days, he'll say, it's time for you to come. He'll take her home. Someday he'll come for all of us. And in the rapture, He'll take all of us at once, and won't that be something? One more letter here in Lineville, Iowa. Yes, we're just waiting for transportation right now, knowing God's rapture will be soon. Keep on keeping on. Well, that's a beautiful way of putting it. And I had an old friend, a dear brother in Christ, a pastor, Wesleyan Methodist Church, and John Dillon was his name. And he always used to say, well, I'm ready for heaven. I'm just waiting for the transportation. And one day God said, this is your day, John. I'm coming to you. And he took him home. And that's what these folks are saying. We're waiting for our transportation. Well, it'll come. He won't forget us. He'll take us home. Well, thank you for the letters. We just appreciate it. And I just hope that more of you will write to us. And we read every letter we get. And you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's box 2002. And it's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, we wanted to let you know this, too, that if you want to, you can send gifts to us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And it's, there's a program called PayPal. And you can be anywhere in the world, and you can send gifts over PayPal. We get some from Norway. We got some from the Philippines and several other places. And it comes in American currency so we can pay our bills. So wherever you are, you can help us in the work, and I hope that you'll do that. And then I want to tell you about the new song. It's a little devotional that we have, and it's a little Bible study. And this month, the month of January, we're studying about the promises of God. Not all of them. We couldn't put them all on there. I should have said some of the promises of God. And they'll just bless your heart and cheer your soul. And so you just write to us, and we'll be sure to send it to you. We also want you to know that we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means that this organization watches us. It's an international organization. And they check all of our audits. And they not only check on what we receive, but they check on how it's spent. And if we don't spend it according to what we're promising to do, they won't keep us in this organization. So we're a full member, Evangelical Council, Financial Accountability, so your money is safe and it'll go to the preaching of the gospel. So we hope you'll write Christian Worship Hour. For those of you on shortwave television, shortwave radio, I want to just repeat again, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA, 57402. So God bless you. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and then you give as God lays on your heart, and we'll give you thanks and appreciation for all you do to help us on this work. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who support this ministry. Some can't give anything, so they pray for us, and we thank you for those prayers. Others have a little, and others have a lot, but we just thank you for whoever it is, whatever they send, we thank you, and we pray that you'll bless them for their faithfulness and for their giving. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. thank you, Jan. God bless you. Always appreciate Jan and all her help she gives us. We're reading from John chapter 17 today. If you have your Bibles, you can to open it up there. And you can just leave it open because we're going to be referring to some of these verses as we go along today. John, Gospel of John, chapter 17, and beginning with the 12th verse. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for Nigeria. Every week we pray for a new country, a different country, especially where Christians are suffering and some of them paying their price with their own life. And so in Nigeria, I know they're having some hard times, and the devil is just persecuting the people of God in a terrible way all over the world, but in some places worse than others. So we're going to pray for Nigeria. But first of all, this is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. And it's John chapter 17, beginning with verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy word hath the world hath hated them. They hated them because they were not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wonderful Lord Jesus. And we thank that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And it is always our prayer in every service we have, Lord, that if there are those who have never opened their heart to you, that during the very service, they'll make that prayer of the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And then help them to turn from their evil ways, their sinful ways, whatever it might be, and walk with you. So we pray that many will turn to you. And then we think of those, Lord, who are on beds of sickness, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are infirm, and now during these winter months, how difficult it is to get around, impossible. And so help them to know that you have told them that you'd never leave them or forsake them, and that you would be with them to the end of the age, to the end of the world. They'll never be alone as they trust in you, and help them just to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Dear Lord, we just thankful that we can walk with you and serve you, and you have a plan for every one of us. And so we just pray that we'll be open to the leading of the Spirit, that we will receive you as our Savior, and then we'll serve you as our Lord and Master. And we know that there's perfect joy and happiness as we walk with you and serve you. So may all of us get into that place where we walk with the Savior, rejoicing, serving him. And he has a plan for each one of us that we can fill that plan. So bless us in this service. Honor your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb, this song today, I know you're going to love it. It's going to speak to your heart. Sweet Hour of Prayer. So God bless you, Barb.
And grief. my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Well, thank you, Barb. God bless you. And that's our theme today, when Jesus prays for his people. And isn't it wonderful that we can go to the Lord in prayer? Have you ever been a night when you couldn't sleep? Maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. You just couldn't go to sleep. And then you just talk to Jesus. You can talk to him at any time. If you're his child, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, the door is open, wide open, for you to come at any time. Now, if you haven't accepted the Lord, you need to do that, because we have no relationship with God, except he'll hear that prayer when we ask him to come into our heart and take away our sin. And if you've never accepted Jesus, that the first prayer you need to make is, just in your own words, tell Jesus that you're a sinner. Ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin. And then promise to serve him the best you can. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. And he taught that we don't just accept Jesus and live on the same old way. We begin to walk with him and our life changes. And so we'd put our faith in Jesus and promise to serve him the best we can. Now, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. When you make a mistake, you go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and he'll always forgive us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he'll do that until all the way to heaven, because his grace is sufficient. So to those of us who have accepted Jesus, and then those maybe just praying right now to do so, Jesus gives this prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And it just seems like we're coming on holy ground, because Jesus is praying. And in the 17th chapter, it is the God the Son talking to God the Father, and is shortly before the crucifixion. G. Campbell Morgan says that now we are permitted to come into his presence as, under the very shadow of the cross, he held communion with his Father. And so it's sacred ground, this prayer, this 17th chapter. The whole chapter is a prayer of Jesus. Philip Melanchthon said, one of the church's reformers, contemporary with Martin Luther, said this of the 17th chapter of St. John: there is no voice which has ever been heard, either in heaven or in earth, more exalted, more holy, more fruitful, more sublime than the prayer offered up by the Son of God himself. And so it's just sacred ground because we're hearing the Son talking to the Father just before the cross. Warren Wiersbe puts it like this: it is the greatest prayer ever prayed on earth and the greatest prayer recorded anywhere in the scriptures. John 17 is certainly the holy of holies of the gospel record, and we must approach this chapter in a spirit of humility and worship. To think that we are privileged to listen in as God the Son converses with his Father just as he is about to give up his life as a ransom for sinners. And so Jesus is praying, and he's praying out loud, audibly. And I think he's doing it so because he wants to have his disciples. And remember, he's in the presence of his disciples. And it's not the multitudes now. It's just his group of people, those disciples following him. He wants to hear him personally talk to the Father in heaven so that they can see the heart of God. They can understand why these things are happening. This one of this cross, going to the cross, it's all explained when we see that it's the heart of God to give his Son for the sins of the world. And so Jesus prayed this prayer. When he did that, he had just a few hours left before the events leading to the cross would take place. His earthly ministry is about to close, and now he's praying this beautiful prayer. The 17th chapter of John should rightly be called the Lord's Prayer. We commonly call the Lord's Prayer, it's really not a prayer. It's a model that Jesus gave. The disciples said, teach us to pray. Ask him, teach them to pray. And Jesus said, after this model, after this pattern. But it wasn't a prayer to be repeated constantly, because in John 17, you have Jesus actually praying. And here he gives a pattern in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so it's the longest prayer in all of the Bible. And it's the Lord praying. And he does praise for three things. He looks, first of all, he prays for himself. Verses 1 to 5, he prays for himself. And then verses 6 to 19, he prays for his disciples. And verses 20 to 26, he prays for the church. And so we want to do this. We want to look at Jesus in prayer. Now he says, first of all, in verse 1, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Now notice this. Jesus says the hour is come. Remember when Jesus began his ministry? He started it at a little place called Cana of Galilee. The first wedding that he attended. And he talked about that time. He says, mine hour is not yet come. That's what he said at the beginning of his ministry. Now he is at the end of his ministry, 3.5 years, and he is saying, now is the hour. The hour is come. And what he was talking about was the cross. That was the hour that he always had in mind, and that's the reason that he came, was to go to that cross. And now he says, my time, the time is here, and I'm praying, and he prays for himself. Now, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. I think you're foolish if you don't, because we need the Lord's help. But when we pray for ourselves, we have to be careful that we're always praying that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray for ourselves that we'll be a better person. We pray that we'll grow in grace. We pray that we'll resist temptation. But we may pray for a nice big car or something like that, or a fancy house or lots of money. Pray that God will give us a ton of money. Well, he could do it. He's got it. But we always have to pray according to the Father's will. And when we're praying for our own stubborn will and we want our own things done, it's just not going to happen. But when we submit to the Heavenly Father, and then we know his will and he knows our plans and he knows what we would like to have, and he works things out for us. So learn to pray, and he prays two things. He prays for himself and he says, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. So it wasn't a selfish request or anything that he could use for himself, but Jesus is praying and he's saying, Help me, dear Heavenly Father, that I will glorify you in all that I do. Now, listen, this is what he's thinking about. He's thinking about his standing in the hall of Caiaphas. He's thinking about the scourging. He's thinking of the crown of thorns. He's thinking about the cross that he's going to have to carry. He's thinking about how he's going to die on that cross and how he's going to take on him in himself the sins of the world. What a horrible experience. And that's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane on the way to the cross. He's taking the sins of the world and is about to kill him before he ever gets to the cross. That holy, sinless Son of God taking all the filthy sins of the world. God Almighty, how could it ever happen? But it happened. And so he's praying that he will just, that he will glorify the Father in all that he does. And that's when we pray, dear friends. We pray to do our best. We can pray to complete the work that God has called us to do. He has a plan for you to do, every one of us. And we pray that we'll do that plan. And I pray that yet 94 years old, and I still haven't completed all of it. And I pray that I'll do it well, and I'll do it exactly as he wants it done. And then we do that so that we give all the glory to God. Corrie ten Boom had many compliments. And she says, I take the compliments like I would take a bouquet of flowers. And I take the bouquet of flowers in my hands and I give them to Jesus. And I say, here, these are all for you. And that's why we want to have a crown when we get to heaven, so we can cast it at Jesus' feet. Now that we'll wear it around heaven forever, some with a big crown, some with a little crown, some with no crown. I'll probably have a skull cap. I don't know. But we don't do it to be seen of men or to parade before people. We take it so we have something to give and throw at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then he prays. And he says, oh, in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so Jesus is talking about how it was before he was born of the Virgin Mary, and how that he was in heaven, and how that he had all that glory, and he set the glory aside to become one of us, and in the flesh, except without sin. And that wonderful dear Lord Jesus set aside that glory. And now he says, when there are some Bible teachers who think that when Jesus ascended into heaven, they said it was a great cloud that received him, and they think that that was a glory that he set aside. But he set aside so that God could go, so that he could go to the cross. And Jesus is willing to go and die on that cross to fulfill the Father's will. And he had to set the glory aside to do it. And he was glad to do it. In Hebrews it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the suffering and went to the cross. He took it as a joy that he could die for our sins. And then Jesus prayed for his disciples, verses 6 to 19. He said, I have manifested unto them. That is, Jesus had revealed much of God to them. They didn't know anything about God except maybe see the power of God in creation. But Jesus had revealed God to them so that they would understand more about God, and so that they would submit to God and follow God. And he prayed for three things for these men. He prayed, keep them in thy name, keep them from evil, and sanctify them in thy name that they may be one. When one looks at that, you can see, keep them in thy name is accomplished. Keep them from evil, because as if we're in Jesus' name, and if we walk with Jesus, close to Jesus, we'll be kept from evil. We won't be falling all of the time, but even though we walk with Jesus, there's time we're going to fail. And when we fail Jesus, maybe we should do something and we don't do it. Or maybe we should think we're thinking something we shouldn't think. Maybe we're not forgiving. Well, I don't know what it is. Could be a thousand different things. And when we fail Jesus, we ask him to forgive us. And 1 John 1:9 says he'll forgive us if we confess our sins. That was written for Christian people. And we ask that God will forgive us for our sins so that we'll have that fellowship with the Lord, because when we sin against when we sin against God, that fellowship is broken. It's just like when you have a little fuss with your husband or your wife or your child. And that fellowship, there's a strain on that fellowship. And you don't want that, and you confess that sin, or you say you're sorry, or you say you're wrong. Boy, that's not easy to say. But you say, and you make up, because it doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation, but you lose that fellowship with the Lord. And so Jesus calls upon us then, and he says and makes an interesting statement. And Jesus says, I pray not for this world, verse 9, I pray not for the world. And that doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? Because Jesus loves the world and he died for the world. But he says, I'm not praying for the world. I'm not praying right now. I'm praying for the disciples so they can carry the message to the world. That's the way God had it planned. Angels could come and do it. And you ever stop to think angels, how many angels are messengers of God? And how they came and they talked to Mary and they talked to Joseph and they talked in the Old Testament to different people, to Abraham and so, different ones. And then they come to the New Testament and the angel is there at the tomb. They're messengers all the time. Well, why don't they take over the churches? You wouldn't have to pay any health insurance on them or anything else. They don't eat. You wouldn't have to feed them anything. They don't sin. You wouldn't need to have any problems with them. Why don't the angels do it? But the angels have to step aside. Because only the redeemed. You see, the angels don't know what it's like to be saved from sin because they've never sinned. They're sinless creatures. The ones that did sin were cast out of heaven, became the demons of hell. That's where they came from. Fallen angels used to be around the throne of God. And so these angels have to step aside. And they have to fold their wings when we sing about redemption story because they've never been redeemed. They've never sinned. They don't know what it's like to have a burden of sin and come to Jesus and have him take it away. Oh, bless his name. What a wonderful Savior we have. And so he prays. And he says, but then Jesus also prays. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. That is, he says, I'm not praying for my people now. I'm praying for my disciples. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. I'm not praying that you put them in a monastery or you put them in isolation or something. I want them right out in the world. They're the salt of the earth. They're the light of the world. And they're my people have to be there. And so we, friend, that's our business is in the world as a follower of Christ. And we're to shine for the Lord, and we're to let the people know that there's a Savior, and I know that Savior, and I love him, and he helps me. And we can talk to them and put them on their own level by following the Lord. So in school and in business, walk with the Lord, shine for the Lord, and God is praying for us. He says, I pray that you keep them from the evil. I pray you'll sanctify them. Now, what does sanctify mean? It doesn't mean that you get a halo. It doesn't mean that you just look godly, whatever that would look like. I don't know. But it means sanctified in the Bible means set apart. Set apart. And in the tabernacle in the wilderness, we have the furniture was sanctified. The furniture was set apart for the service of God. And so when he says, I pray they'll be sanctified, he's saying that I am praying that you will be set apart for the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. Not all pastors, but living the gospel, shining as light, working as salt against corruption of the world, and letting people know there's a Savior. He's praying that we'll be sanctified. And so here's the picture. The world is lost and going to hell. Jesus came to save that poor world from going to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come under repentance. And so he comes to the world, but the world is hostile toward God. The world hates God. It tries in every way to banish God from its thoughts. He doesn't want anything to do with God. The world is anti-God and anti-Christ. And when I talk about the world, I mean our society, our culture. There's three different worlds. There's the world of creation, and then there's the world of people. God so loved the world, humanity, And then there's the world that is hostile to God. And oh, God, do we see it? Even in America, more and more. In my 71 years in the ministry, I think back, and they used to just disregard the cross, the church and the preaching of the cross. That was for the women and for the children, and the he-men didn't go, and they just disregarded it, but not anymore. They're attacking the church. And I don't know if we'll have to suffer in America physically or not. Maybe we will. You better be ready. You just don't know. And so this anti-world that hates God, and so how can he reach those people? And that is through the people of God, through the truth. That's how he's going to do it. And so stay close to the Word of God and witness for the Lord. Be grounded in the world and then in the Word. And as we lean on the Lord and trust in him, he'll use us to touch other lives. And oh, there are people coming to Jesus all the time. And you know what? There are people coming to Jesus right now while I'm preaching. Because we have a team that will have our worship services that we share with the world. And we have many people who pray. And we have many people who give for over 38 years. We've never been behind in our bills. And so that's a whole team. That's the people of God speaking to the world. And right now, somewhere, there are multitudes all over the world praying, "Dear Jesus, I need you. I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin." And when you do that, the dear Lord Jesus will enter your life and heart, and you become his child. You're born again. And then you live for the Lord, and you tell others what he's done. And so this dear Lord Jesus, he's praying for you. He's praying for his people, and he's praying for the world. And he doesn't want that any should perish, but everybody to be saved. Come to Jesus. Trust in the Jesus. And then he closes this wonderful passage, and he prays for the church. He says he prays that they may be one. He prays that the world may believe. He prays that we will be with him in heaven. So first of all, in verse 21, he prays that we might be one. Now, I don't think that means a one world church. I don't believe that at all. I think that Jesus is talking to his people wherever they are, gather in groups and preach and teach and love each other. Charles Swindoll puts it this way when you talk about he doesn't intend, he is not requesting that there be one world church. That'll happen when Jesus comes. Swindoll says when Jesus prays, it's not for uniformity, absolute similarity of organization, style, personality, and experience. Neither does he pray for unanimity, absolute agreement of opinion within the group of people. Nor does he pray for union, absolute coalition of thought, of tight affiliation within the ranks of Christianity. What he does pray for is unity, oneness of heart, faith, and purpose. And so you can have people of all the different denominations. You can have people in a lot of different churches, and they can all be preaching and teaching wonderful words of God. Just think now, for instance, he makes us in his body. He holds us together by the wonderful Holy Spirit of God and by our love for one another. But we're all of us in our different churches and groups preaching and teaching the Word of God. Just think of the disciples, how the diversity they had with the disciples. You ever stop to think about that? Well, look at who they were. They were strong-willed and they were independent men. They, each one of them, had their own mind. Matthew was a tough-minded tax collector, never took no for an answer. Peter was impulsive, always taking things in his own hands, self-confident, half-proud. Thomas, wondering, doubting, questioning everything that came up. And listen to this, James and John, look at them. Rough, tough old fishermen. You know what Jesus called them? Called them sons of thunder. How'd you like to have them on your deacon board? Sons of thunder. And here they have all of these people, and yet they're all bound together. Why? Because Jesus is there. And he's holding them together, and they're following him and loving him. but now he's going to die, and then he's going to ascend into heaven, and then what, are they going to disintegrate? No. Send the Holy Spirit. Send the Holy Ghost, and he'll live in the lives of these people, and he'll hold them together and mold them together. The wonderful Spirit of God. Oh, God bless us. And so we work for the Lord. And though we work with our Lord, when we walk with the Lord, we have to strive toward this unity. And in your own church, your own congregation, in your own group, just to love each other and work at it. And what does God say? Blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers, the peacemakers. And so just stay close. And like the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love makes up for all your faults. Through thick and thin, we do the work of Christ. We cannot all have our own way. There, we can't be offended at little things, everything that happened, every little thing. Like one pastor says, my church is just like a whole bunch of balloons. I don't know which one's going to blow up next. Well, get over it. And get to the Holy Spirit and get to the work of honoring Christ. Jesus is praying for his church. That's what his prayer is. And he wants us to be faithful and have to be faithful to our mission. And then he closes and he prays in verse 24. He prayed for our eternal security, our eternal salvation. Listen to what he says. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now Jesus prays for them. He says, whom thou hast given me. That's all believers. All those who come to Jesus Christ, he looks upon them as gifts from God given to him. And he says that he be with me where I am. So he's praying that all the believers are with him where he at, where I am. Well, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. How long will he be in heaven? Forever. And when we have Jesus, we have eternal security, and we will never be lost. And what does he tell us in John chapter 10? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man listen. Any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus holds us in his hand. I don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to me. And if you need the next verse, you'll read in John 10, verse 28, that God the Father holds the Son. And somebody says, well, what if I just reject Jesus and get out of his hand? You mean you're stronger than Jesus? You're stronger than God? Good grief, where are you coming from? He holds me. I never worry about my salvation. Well, you say, well, you preach 71 years, that'll count for something. Doesn't count for anything. It's just Jesus holding me and never letting go. So I'm praying that you'll put your faith in Jesus today. And if you do, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is easy. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get a hold of us, ChristianWorshipHour.com. We'll send you literature. And if you want to get this little booklet on suicide, if you want to have our little Bible study on the promises of God, you write to us at this address. And we'll be glad to send it free and postpaid. The little suicide booklet, if you can make a gift, that's fine. And all of you pray for this ministry, and all of you give as you can. Ask God what you should do, because we have to have your help. And St. James says, you have not because you ask not. So we ask. We need your help. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all who've opened up their doors, opened up their hearts, Lord, maybe for the first time. Thank you for all of those you've given us through the preaching of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that we can give comfort to those who are on beds of sickness or shut in, or maybe they just lost their spouse or their child. Maybe they're having a divorce, Lord. Maybe they lost their job. Oh, God, the Satan afflicts the people of God every way he possibly can. But you're the balm of Gilead, and you will help, and you'll strengthen, and you'll see us through, and you'll never leave us or forsake us. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So we just thank you for today for being with us. Tell your friends about this service. Pray for us. Be sure to write to us. And live for Jesus and trust in Jesus. And just remember, the next time you feel like you're slipping, the arms of love are around you. And the love of God will never fail you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you have that love of God. Oh, what a glorious gospel. Pray you'll have a good week. Pray you'll be with us next week. And together, we'll worship the Lord together all around the world. And won't that be something? God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.